Hello, everybody. You're live with Patricia Corey, known to most of you as the author of the Syrian Revelations trilogy. I'd like to welcome you to my new show, Beyond the Matrix. This is a program for people who dare to think outside the box convention. I intend to take this show way past the boundaries of common belief systems and accepted paradigms of our time. So we will be venturing out into the deep space of your mind to bring forward what you already know. Deep down, inside the well of your subconscious minds and universal experience, you already know, because you exist on many levels of consciousness, many dimensions beyond the matrix. You just need to remember who you really are. So breathe deeply, open your mind and heart to what potential lies beyond those convictions, out of fear, past the ego voice, and into the power zone. Now, if you like what you hear tonight, please be sure to tell your friends that this is the spot, 12 p.m. Pacific Coast Time on www.bbsradio.com. You are welcome to call in with questions for my guests or me once I open in the last 15 minutes of the program. So why don't you jot these numbers down now? You've got a toll-free line in the U.S., 877-876-5227. I've got a very special guest tonight, Andy Thomas, one of England's most prolific authors and lecturers on unexplained mysteries, which is why you're probably listening in. And he's particularly knowledgeable about the crop circles. He's one of the organizers of the Glastonbury Symposium, where I spoke this July, and he's the author of many books that reflect his broad range of interest and investigation. And so with Andy tonight, we're going to conclude our probe into the crop circles of 2007 with his hands-on knowledge and insight. So welcome to Andy Thomas. Are you there, Andy?
Hello there. Hello, Patricia.
Hi, welcome. Sorry we had such a hard time hooking up.
That's okay.
All right, this is the third program I'm doing on the crop circles of 2007, and they have been quite controversial. From one guest who claimed there have been no non-man-made formations since 2001, to another who has just been in the circles and has had life-altering visions and experiences in the field this year. So you complete the triangle, the balancing of that duality, bringing your blend of science and spirit to the discussion. Excuse me.
Well, I mean, I would have to ask how anybody could possibly know that all crop circles are now man-made since 2001, because that, I think, can only be an opinion. Certainly, if you're looking at the evidence, there is no evidence to support the view that they're now all man-made. And indeed, I mean, when you look at the evidence of what has appeared just this year, what you see is a phenomenon that refuses to go away. And it is hard to believe that if all of it were man-made, that it would still be going after all these years and with this level of interest that's still going on today. So I think what we have to do is concentrate on looking at the evidence, what's actually appearing, not on hearsay and not on opinion. And that's certainly what I try to do.
Great. So let us know a little bit about the evidence that you've discovered this year.
Well, it's an interesting year because the popular perception, when you actually spoke to researchers, you know, who were on the ground and out and about, particularly in Wiltshire, which, of course, in England is the main epicenter of activity. But the popular view was that actually this year was a real bonanza year for the phenomenon. It really felt like sort of the phenomenon had come back with a vengeance, and certainly the level of quality of the patterns that have been appearing has been extremely high. But interestingly, if you compare it to 2006, which was considered by many to be a year where the numbers of formations were very much down on previous years. Actually, we hardly had any more at all this year than the year before. So I find that interesting that although the perception is it was actually a very, very good year, in terms of numbers, it's pretty much the same. We've had two or three more in England than we had last year, but it's actually pretty much the same as
it was. But wouldn't you agree that last year were hardly as phenomenal as they are this year?
Well, there does certainly seem to be a very consistent level of quality this year. Yes, that's true. And also, we mustn't forget around the world, because it is a global phenomenon, and there's been an increase in numbers of formations in countries like Germany, for instance, which in recent years has been, you know, almost hot on the tails of England in terms of numbers. But last year, Germany went fairly quiet. But this year, it's had somewhere in the region of around 18 formations.
But
and countries like Italy, which actually
had
22 formations this year. Hello?
The question was, were they more simplistic, or were they also reflecting the complexity of those in Wiltshire?
Well, certainly the formations in Germany were very much more complex than some formations we've had over the years in other countries. But then Germany has had very sophisticated formations for quite some time. And particularly earlier in their season this year, they had a series of very floral designs. They looked almost like very complex flowers, which, of course, we've seen in England over the years. But that was very much a recurring theme. But likewise, say, in Italy. Now, Italy, the quality was perhaps more inconsistent, but they also certainly had a number of very beautiful formations as well, one or two of which you would quite happily find in the Avebury Fields in England, and you know, you would consider them easily as good. But, certainly, it does feel like this year there was a sort of an upsurge of quality in general.
Do you know a website or anywhere anyone can go to look at these global formations? We don't usually get a glimpse of them on the standard websites.
For sure.
Could you give a recommendation where we can see those?
For sure. Well, I mean, there are sites that do look at the global formations. I mean, if you go to the cropcircleconnector.com website, which already is known as one of the popular sites for crop circle information, they do have pages about the overseas formations. So it is in there somewhere, not always obvious to find, but you can. And there's another website I find which is very good, which is an Italian site, which is called XCosmos. I think it's XCosmos.com.
XCosmos.com?
And I believe that's the address. We could find out, but the website's called XCosmos. So if anybody just runs a search for XCosmos, you will find it.
Okay, well, if you search that, folks, if you search that and it's not exactly right, I will have time to check it, double-check it, and next week I will.
But that's very good because that website lists formations from all around the world, literally in one sort of archive list, so you can see day by day what was appearing, not just in England, but also in every country and in order. And certainly I found that a very useful website.
Okay, thank you. Tell me, Andy, did you get into all of the formations this year?
No, I mean, I don't think anybody would really be able to say that they got into all the formations of any one year. Certainly there are people in Wiltshire especially who spend their summers there. They drive around. They do try to see as many of them as possible. I suppose I've sort of gone beyond the need to do that. I like to get into as many crop formations as I can. Of course, but what I find is if you're working and you have family and things like that, and if you don't live in Wiltshire, and I don't, I live about 3 hours drive away, it's not so easy to get to all of them. So what I found was I was sort of going down there about once a week, trying to travel around, see as many of them as I could. And I was very lucky because by complete chance, I just happened to be down in Wiltshire on the day that the first formation of 2007 appeared, on the 15th of April, down at Oliver's Castle, which was very early in the year to have a formation, and we weren't expecting it. And I happened to be down there, and there was the first formation of the year, so I was rather happy about that.
So let me pick your brain and find out what I know. I know your answer is going to want to be more neutral, but your personal experience of what's bringing in these circles. Can you divulge your innermost opinion?
Well, I mean, it's a very difficult thing because obviously some people are very committed as to what they believe makes crop circles. Now, I mean, I speak to a lot of groups. I lecture to all sorts of people, not just in England, but in other countries. And what I have found over the years is that people don't necessarily want to hear your personal opinion. What they want to hear about is an overview of all the possible theories. And I think as time has gone by, I've actually sort of come absolutely into a center ground where I really try now to listen to everybody's views, be open to all the possibilities. And I think in truth, and I've been involved with crop circles for nearly 18 years now, and there are people who've been involved for longer, but it's nonetheless, it's a fair time. I have to say, I don't yet see absolute evidence in any one direction to support one particular viewpoint. And that's when you just have to try to assess basically some assumptions about what's going on. Now, one of those assumptions is that the complexity of the designs certainly in some cases seems to suggest some level of intelligence. But what level of intelligence we're talking about, and whether we are talking about extra-dimensional, extraterrestrial, or indeed human consciousness, I think is a big question. And it may well be that it's a combination of all of those things, because certainly over the years, and I was involved in work doing this in the mid-1990s, there have been a number of experiments where people have tried to psychically interact with the phenomenon, trying to get certain patterns to appear as crop circles by using meditation experiments, things like that.
Right, and many people claim to have achieved it.
They do, and we believe that we did also here in Sussex, which is the county of England where I live. And we were involved in a number of it. We had a channeler called Paul Bure and some other very good channels as well. And what we were trying to do originally was to try to discover where and when a new formation would appear so we could actually go along and witness it. Now, we never achieved that, but in the end, what we wound up doing was what other groups have done, which is choosing a shape. We divined a shape through various means that we wanted to appear as a crop circle. And we performed a meditation up on an ancient sacred site called Worstonbury Hill, which is an old, very ancient site here in Sussex. And we focused our thoughts on the shape that we wanted to appear. And lo and behold, on that exact night, the formation that we chose did appear as a crop circle. Now, I mean, some people get very cynical about this. We've been accused of going out there and making it, all the usual things. Well, I can assure everybody that we didn't, and nobody knew what shape had been chosen, but there it was in the field. And if that was just us, you could write it off as coincidence. But there are other groups that have done similar work.
Listeners are not going to be skeptics. So let's assume that you have a wide audience of people that believe in that. I'd like to know, did you work together as this group to fixate a certain geometrical pattern?
Well, it's a very interesting story because we received messages through Paul Bure, the channel. He received a number of visions and directions that we should play certain notes of music. And if you're about to ask me what they are, I'm afraid I don't remember without going away and looking it up. But hey, I could find out for you. But certain notes of music, which we recorded using a synthesizer, using sine waves. And sine waves are a very pure form of sound. And the reason we did that was because a number of people believe that sound is involved in the process of creating these shapes. And that's not to say that's the whole answer, but it's an element. And through this and the various other sort of directions we were given, we came to the conclusion that what we were going to receive were a combination of six circular elements. And so a member of our group, a chap called Barry Reynolds, he drew what he thought would result from this experiment. So that's when we then had a vision of what the design would be. So we didn't just sort of pluck a design out of nowhere. It sort of came about through a process. And so obviously we were then delighted and shocked to find this very formation had appeared the next day in a field.
So you can either ask yourself, was this the channel telepathically linking into the consciousness that was sending it in, or did you as a group interact and let's say direct the communicator?
Well, yes, that is the big question. Which way around did it occur?
But, I mean, the question is, therefore, there was interaction. I mean, this kind of precision.
For sure. My personal feelings are that what occurred on that particular case, and I think in other times where other groups have tried very similar experiments with success, so it's not just us, my personal belief is it's a combination. It's a combination of human consciousness interacting with something else. Now, where that comes from, what that something else is the one thing that I have never been able to put my finger on. And I know that some people have very particular views. I know that you have very particular views on where this comes from. But because I try to stay just completely open-minded, I really just have found myself unable to completely commit to one point of view on what the other
I really appreciate that position
is.
As well. And as far as my views, when I bring people into the circles, I try to absolutely give no prejudicial opinion about what's happening, because
sure,
these experiences are individual, and for some people they're life-altering, and I really don't want anybody else's opinion swaying the opinion of others.
No.
Even
well,
though,
I think that's very important not to do that.
I was forced, when I went first into the Julia set, I had no opinions. I went in by myself, and I was given a lot of direct information. This is why the books resulted. But many people that are going in are having these very, very big, immediate experiences. And one thing I have to say is that I do feel that this year the circles were incredibly powerful, much more than last year, to be sure.
Well, I mean, the experiences people have... The experiences people have inside these formations, I mean, they are very personal, they're very subjective. And what is so exciting and interesting is that one formation that may, you know, not resonate in any way at all with one person may be the very formation that somebody else opens up to, and it completely changes their life.
This
happens again and again. Certain formations resonate with certain individuals, and it will never be the same one. Each individual will find a particular formation that will really do it for them. And that's why I feel that, yes, to load the dice, to say to people, well, they mean only this, and they only come from here, is not fair, because it then takes away from that very personal experience that everybody
well,
must have
like
with saying this
saying that we all resonate similarly to each other. You can meet people that you immediately embrace and others that you just cannot connect with, so it would make sense that there's no pat answer about another level of consciousness.
Well, I think that's right, and it's almost as if the patterns that do appear, it's almost as if every level of pattern is being used, almost as if it is designed to embrace as many different people as possible. And if one design doesn't get you, another one will. And that's certainly the case. And that's, I think, the lovely thing about crop circles is it's very inclusive. It doesn't exclude anybody. Every level of opinion can come into the debate, including not only speculation about consciousness, but also about the mechanism behind the formations, and whether that comes down to talking about earth energies and dowsing, or even weather-related phenomena. It's all part of the discussion, and indeed may all be connected up somewhere in the middle. And I do like that about crop circles. Nobody is excluded from the party, as it were.
And it gathers people together
as a result.
Going into the circles is that it's quite amazing how everyone respects the other's space. People are usually quite silent. There's so much reverence.
Yes.
And respect in these moments, and that in itself is a remarkable thing to be part of.
Well, and people talk to each other. This is the marvelous thing. You go into a crop circle, and you will meet people you've never seen before in your life. And if you met them out on the street in a bus stop, you probably wouldn't even look at them. But in a crop circle, you tend to talk to people. And you'll meet somebody who's come from the other side of the world to look at crop circles, or, you know, they'll have an experience which 9 times out of 10 will prove to be valuable to hear. So there is something about these formations. They're gathering spots. And they do open up sort of channels of communication between people, which is wonderful to see. And those people who've not been to crop circles, it's sometimes hard to explain how it is that it's like that. But as you know, it is like that. And you get into the fields and suddenly you are standing in what feels like sacred space. I mean, it does yes. have very much that feeling of being in a cathedral or a temple. And you change accordingly, and suddenly you find that your behavior changes. And when you meet other people who are going through the same experience, suddenly you've got something in common with them. And then you open up and communication grows. And if that's all the formations have ever done, that in itself has been, you know, a very important gift.
And it's quite remarkable that so very few people are actually in the formations, because as an important phenomenon as it is, I'm always surprised to see that there are very few people. And often they're the same people going in and out year after year that I'm running into.
Yeah.
And I just can't believe that this, despite the media, the hype, and the skeptical journalism, I still can't believe there are not more people flocking to these circles, which personally I believe are one of the most important things happening on the planet.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing, because if you go to one of the Crop Circle websites that has a hit counter, like Crop Circle Connector, they have a hit counter, so you can see how many people have looked at each formation. It's actually shockingly low, the amount of people who are keeping an eye on these things, when you consider there's a whole world of web surfers out there. You may find that an extraordinary formation may only have something like 10,000 hits on it. Now, that's hits, not individuals, and people often go back to the pages again and again to look at them. So that may only be 2,000, 3,000 people at the most out of the whole world who are looking at these things.
And
it is shocking, but it's true. And I think we in the crop circle world often have a slightly overinflated opinion of how big this is. The majority of the world knows nothing about this phenomenon, incredibly. And it's a very small pool of people that are monitoring it and interact with it on a yearly basis. So, yes, it may be one of the most important things, but the shocking thing is the amount of people acting as a conduit to show these to the rest of the world is remarkably small, and therefore, with that, I think, comes a responsibility to, you know, report them very openly and without bias. And that's why I get a little bit annoyed when I hear other people saying, oh, they're all man-made, everyone's man-made, and I know. And you think, well, A, that loads the dice too much for other people, and B, I don't see how you can know. You know, you can have an opinion. But I think this is where I think we have to be very responsible, because not many people actually deal with the crop circles on a one-to-one basis. And as you say, why aren't there more people in these formations? Now, the farmers yeah. are very happy that there aren't more, but nonetheless, yes, considering how important they could be, you would expect more in there. But that's not the way the world works at the moment, I'm afraid.
Well, when you're doing the left brain approach of looking at a diagram or pictures of the circle, you are eliminating completely any, as you said, interaction or any intuitive, psychic, or whatever you want to call the right brain. Sorry, I've got that back. The backwards, left brain experience of experiencing the energies in these formations. So people that are not going into them, I really find it difficult for that to understand how they can feel comfortable claiming that they know what these are when they're not feeling them. They're looking, they're analyzing the message, the diagram, the art, the specifics of the geometry, but they're not feeling it. And
no.
I think that one of the most exciting aspects of being in these formations is interacting, first of all, you to the higher energy, and then with the other people who are always having a very powerful experience. This is the common denominator of all the circles I've been into.
Well, I think that this is another important point, that if you go into crop circles very much just wanting to analyze them technically, you can only go so far with it. Now, that's not to say that shouldn't happen, because there's been a lot of very valuable insight given by looking at the geometry. There are biological anomalies occurring within the flattened plants that it's fascinating science. And this must and should be pursued. But, as you say, you also need to stand back and actually give in to your intuition as well and actually feel it on a heart level. And I think if you don't do that, sooner or later, you tend to get frustrated by the phenomenon. And I'm afraid crop circle research is littered with people that were so sure they were going to prove X theory or Y theory and then couldn't, because the phenomenon doesn't react like that. They tend to then be the people that get very frustrated because it doesn't stand up to that kind of analysis. And then they also, I'm afraid, tend to be the people that then get very cynical, very skeptical, because they don't get from the phenomenon what they wanted intellectually. They then say, oh, it's all a load of rubbish. They're all man-made. And really what they're saying is, they're expressing a personal frustration that they were not able to go further with it. But the phenomenon continues on, and intellectual approaches come and they go, but it does seem to be the people that can also open to it on a heart level that stay the course, and I think there's an interesting observation in that.
Yeah, well, it's quite a feat to silence the chattering mind of the logic that wants to control. But I just, to everyone that's listening, I can't tell you enough how important it is to get yourself to these circles. I'm really not very up to date on global phenomenon, but I do go to England almost every year. And if you can make it there, do it. It is very exciting, very deeply enhancing, and I think one of the most important things that's happening on the planet. Amazingly, because the media never wants to share the really important stuff. We keep focused on Paris Hilton and Britney Spears and all the insignificant goings-on of the superficial layers, and here is this remarkable, constantly occurring, year after year, possibly, like I agree with you, let's say possibly, one of the true signs of extraterrestrial or extra-dimensional communication. So go to the crop circles.
I mean, it's an inexperience which you can't really replace with anything else. And particularly this year, there was an increased concentration of the designs back in the Avebury area. I mean, you could drive around the Avebury area, that sort of 10-mile radius around it, and virtually every horizon that you looked on, you could see another formation, albeit obliquely. And it was like, well, there's these mysteries just, you know, thrown down all around us. And the feeling of being surrounded by that really is quite something. So, yes, you're quite right. Anybody who's not had the experience, it really is worth having a holiday in England. Not that I'm working for the English Tourist Board, but it would be worth coming over and spending some time in the Avebury area.
I agree, and I do want to say that every year I'm trying to bring a group. So if you're interested in meeting with Andy, are you doing always the Glastonbury Symposium?
Yes, I'm one of the main organizers, so that will go on, yes.
Okay, so it's a great vacation. You come to the fields of England, you see the Glastonbury Symposium, and you get updated on all these different opinions and viewpoints and experiences and information, and you get yourself into the sacred sites, and you do the Indiana Jones, I like to refer to it, and get out there, da-da-da-da, into these fields, and it's just the most exciting experience to be doing it. I'd like to ask, in all of your experience in the circles, have you had any light phenomenon or sightings while you were inside, besides the military helicopters?
Well, yes, we'll talk about military helicopters in a moment. Yes, I have witnessed a light phenomenon. I wasn't inside a formation, but back in 1993... there was a group of colleagues, myself, and we were at Alton Barnes, which is a place where many crop circles have appeared in Wiltshire. And there were two evenings where we witnessed phenomena. We were looking down over the famous East Field, it's called, which is a vast field where many of the very famous crop circles have appeared. And we all watched these floating, you know, pale luminescent globes of light, just literally just hovering over the fields, flying around. And we weren't going mad because we said to each other, are you seeing, you know, what I'm seeing? And then a couple of nights later, we, in fact, were at the bottom of the East Field, literally on a level with the field, looking back up towards a place called Knapp Hill. And we witnessed these very sort of dark, flickering shapes, very large, in the sky. And to this day, I cannot really say what they were. Some people have tried to say, oh, you saw a black craft or whatever. Well, it wasn't craft. It was something almost like from some other dimension. It was like a strange, flickering unreality in front of us. And I cannot to this day say what it was. It was very spooky. And I, you know, would like to witness it again because it would be so interesting this time with the knowledge that I've had in the years since to reapproach it. But there we go. But that was my experience of strange things. And I know many people who have witnessed these lights or other similar strange shapes. And this is a whole other part of the phenomenon, which is this sort of peripheral so-called paranormal phenomena that goes on around it. And the balls of light have been witnessed by many people and videoed on many occasions over the years.
This year, the reported ball of light in Eastfield Formation?
Well, yes. I mean, I've heard of two videos which have been taken this year over various formations. But, in fact, the Eastfield Formation is, you know, very central to some of the arguments this year because there was for those listeners who don't know, there was a huge formation, many, many circles going across the East Field at Alton Barnes, and it was 1,033 feet in total length. And there were three researchers who were up on the hill, same hill, in fact, where I witnessed my light phenomena years before. And they were filming the field, and they witnessed a very bright flash in the sky at about 3 o'clock in the morning. Now, the story is that when they analyzed the footage, that the flash showed up as a sort of interference blip on their video. And with enhancement of the film, they believed that the formation was clearly not there when they checked the film at about 1:45 a.m., and yet at about 3:20 a.m., you can clearly see the formation is visible with enhancement. Now the controversy comes when some of the usual skeptics and the people who claim they make them have come along and said, no, we made that formation, you've got your times wrong, or you're not telling the truth. And it's the usual crop circle thing. You never get to the bottom of the absolute truth of what's going on. And to some people, to look at that huge formation and accept that these people made it, many people refuse to accept that. Other people, the more skeptical people, are saying, well, there you go, you just can't trust anything you hear. And this is just a perfect illustration of the polarity that you get between those people who don't believe in it and those people who witness phenomena but, you know, don't know what context to put it in. And it's very, very difficult to reach ultimate conclusions. But it's always been the same. This is not new. I've never known a year without a controversy like this. And it does seem to be that paradoxical nature of the phenomenon that it never quite lets you get to the truth of anything. That almost seems to be part of its purpose. Presumably, because if it did, there'd be no mystery and there'd be nothing to explore. So it always makes sure that there's never irrefutable evidence of something. And likewise, the helicopters. Now, over that same formation, there were many sightings of military helicopters. Now, this is not unusual, I must say.
I have never been in a crop circle without military helicopters overhead.
This is not unusual at all. However, it does seem there was quite a lot of increased activity over that field this year. Now, I sometimes get myself into trouble here because, to me, the helicopters are a normal part of life in the Vale of Pewsey. because it's an area not far from where they there's a lot of military bases on Salisbury Plain, and they do train helicopter pilots in that area. And the pilots use the crop formations as useful things to hover around and train
them. Yeah, but, I was in a crop school 1 year. We had two or three photographers with tripods photographing, and this helicopter flew overhead. And there was a military person sticking out of the helicopter taking pictures of us.
For sure. But
I
what I would say to that is...
but everybody's cameras went out.
But this is the kind of thing, you see, that happens. And it doesn't prove necessarily what people say it proves. The point I want to make here is a lot of people say, right, well, when you see these military helicopters and when these strange things happen, that proves the military know what's going on or the military are making the crop circles. That's the other thing. And I have to say that is vast presumption, and I do not go along with that at all. I'm sure they're interested, but that doesn't mean they actually know any more than the next person.
My opinion is they're bewildered as much as we are and unable to control it. There is a certain element with the military of controlling the borders, right?
Well, but as I say, I think you do have to be careful because it is a training area. So you're always going to see helicopters there. And how much to read into it, I think you have to be careful not to border into the realms of paranoia because we don't really know why they're there. Maybe they're just playing dark games, having a bit of fun at people's expense. But certainly for those people that believe the military make the formations. Now, I can't say absolutely that they don't, but I equally would say there's no evidence to say that they do, and I think it's very puzzling to me why the military would spend their days making things like that and then spend so much time trying to debunk them, as they do seem to have done in the past. Well, that doesn't really seem to make any sense to me, unless there's some bizarre double bluff going on. But, the arguments on that will run and run.
Yeah, I think that's kind of spitting in the wind, personally, because, first of all, they are not really that upsetting. When you're in the middle of the crop circle, you see them fly overhead, and, life's wave of the hand, and you get on with your business. But that the military would be making them, that's pretty far-fetched. But then, as you said, anything is possible, and that's one of the very exciting things about this whole experience. Anything is possible. You put yourself into it and hopefully open your mind to any number of possibilities.
Well, but I mean, a point that I have made over the years and in my books also is that the mystery of crop circles is maybe one of the most important elements because we don't have an answer, and there's no answers given on a plate from this phenomenon. It leaves us always in the middle. Therefore, we have to reach within ourselves to find the answer. And it seems to me, just observing the people that I've interacted with over the years, that that's where the evolution of consciousness comes, in the questioning, in the constantly trying to find out what these things mean, where they come from, and just trying to feel them. It's the lack of knowing where they come from that actually creates the development inside. And it may well be that the whole thing is never designed to give us just one message or just one line of information, which some people believe, but that it, in fact, is just designed purely to stimulate, to actually cause controversy and arguing, and because that's where evolution comes. And certainly if we had formations which appeared, which written next to them in the field was telling you where it came from, what made it, and how it was made, it would instantly deflate a lot of the mystique around them. So the fact that we don't know is one of the very things that makes them so exciting and creates that inclusivity that we were speaking of earlier on. It means no one person can say, it's just this or it's just that, and I know. Well, they can't know. There's no way of knowing. It's completely a blank sheet. And yet, at the core of it is this beauty, this extreme example of geometry and fantastic patterns. And I think that's the key here. Most paranormal phenomena, you don't get to see it for very long. With UFOs, they come and they go. You've got to be in there at the right place at the right time.
Right.
Similar to ghosts. But with crop circles, they're there. You can take somebody by the hand and say, come and see this. And there it is. And this is so unusual. And, of course, you would think that might make it easier to answer, but in fact, if anything, it's made the mystery even more difficult to explain, because everybody can have an opinion, they can walk in it, they can smell them, they can touch them, and this is remarkably rare in the world of the paranormal, if you wish to call it that.
You're making me want to be back 2 months ago when I was in these phenomenal circles. One of the most powerful ones I've ever been in was the Sugar Hill Formation, which was only up for a couple of days, I hear, and they mowed it down. Did you get into that one?
Well, yes, there's a sad tale. I went to see the Sugar Hill Formation, and it had been there the morning, and everyone said, yes, it's still there, go, 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 drove. By the time I got there, it had gone. It had been chopped down. So I still went and stood at it anyway, and you could actually see quite a lot that was left. And, I mean, its vastness was extraordinary. But if anybody looks at the pictures, goes onto the internet and looks at the Sugar Hill Formation, it's just extraordinary. I mean, whichever way you look at it, you look at a pattern like that, which has basically various layers. It's got 36 triangles around the outside, then another smaller 36 triangles in another sort of rim inside and so on, and then these cubes, these cubes in the middle, which have a very three-dimensional quality. Whichever way you look at this phenomenon, it demands some respect, which, of course, is what it doesn't get, in particularly with the media, of course. It still laughs at them. But you only have to look at a pattern like that to say, well, now that is something special. And I think this is a point which is often missed, is that when you actually look at these things and you think, well, let's imagine drawing that even on a piece of paper. I mean, what it would take you to draw them as accurately as we see them styled in the field.
Right.
Well, you know, and that very thought says it all.
Then you can also talk about, for example, the pictogram that came down. Was it 2001, the Chilbolton Radio Telescope?
Well, yes. I mean, that's, again, very
interesting. That was a completely new experience. Instead of having plain crop, there were just these tufts of crop forming almost digital image.
Well, that's right. I mean, that was an unusual formation because, for those listeners that don't know, Chilbolton, there's a radio telescope. It's actually generally used for atmospheric research and weather, but it is nonetheless a radio telescope. And next to it were found two glyphs, and one of them was a strangely mutated version of the signal that the SETI project beamed out into space in 1974. But next to it was this face, and they appeared at a few days away from each other, but was a face made out of dots or pixels, and as you say, these little pillars of crop. And on the ground, you had no idea what it was.
People that are listening, that when we finish the program, you've got to go on the Crop Circle Connector site and look for the face or Arecibo, or anyway, it's a 2001 year.
It was 2001, yes, at Chilbolton. And, I mean, yes, this face is extraordinary. And when you blur the face, you have to blur the face to really appreciate it. You see this very three-dimensional humanoid face. Now, there's been a lot of speculation. Is it an alien face? Is it the face on Mars? Now, some have said it reminds them of the Turin Shroud, you know, the face of Christ. And others have said it's Tony Blair. So you take your pick, basically. But
don't
it is extraordinary.
It's a Tony Blair idea.
But then, of course, the year after, we had one more formation which seemed to sort of pick up on the theme, which, of course, looked like the conventional, if there's such a thing, the conventional extraterrestrial holding this data disk. And that was also extraordinary. Instead of the picture of the extraterrestrial being made by dots or pixels, it was made with lines that scanned across, getting wider, getting thinner, gradually making up the pattern. And very controversial, but a work of genius in terms of its actual construction.
Let me ask you, because I remember when I saw that, I could barely speak, and there was talk that people were going to try to decipher, because this disc is absolutely full of data.
Yes, it was deciphered. It certainly was deciphered. And, of course,
it was?
It was, yes, and it's a message. And so this disk has dots and dashes, and it's actually binary code. And it enables you to read it using what's called the ASCII system. And ASCII is what generates text on a computer. So when it was actually fairly soon after it was decoded. When you decode it, it's actually a warning. Well, I'll read what the message says that this on this disk. It says, "Beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. There is much pain, but still time. Believe. There is good out there. We oppose deception." And the last bit says, "Conduit closing." And a little computer bell sound is in fact signified in the coding. Right, so that's what it says. It's a warning. Beware the bearers of false gifts. Now, who are they warning us about? What are they warning us about? Is it a warning from a being that looks like that? Is it a warning about beings that look like that? Or a warning about our own governments, which many people believed was the case? So that's one of the most controversial and yet extraordinary formations we've ever had.
Right, but whether or not you're thinking about who is the messenger referring to, nonetheless, how in the world could these binary codes have been splayed into the wheat with such precision?
Well, I walked that formation. I mean, the disc that the alien was holding, I mean, I walked it from the center to the outside, and it took a good 20, 25 minutes to walk it because it was a spiral. A lot of people think it was just concentric rings, but it wasn't. It was a spiral, like a vinyl record. And
wow.
So as you walk out and out and out, it took, say, a good 20 minutes plus to actually walk it at a normal pace. So it was extraordinary in scale. And as you say, they only had to cock up a couple of the blocks, and the coding would have got lost. I think there was one word, the word believe, I think it got damaged by the wind and wasn't so clear to decipher, but most likely the believe is the word. And it was, yeah, extraordinary. So
this is
the level we're dealing with in the field today. And here we are, you know, 5 years on, that formation, it's never been claimed by any of the usual skeptics. It's never been explained. And it's still a mystery.
Well, that's kind of the interesting thing about the so-called circle makers. They don't claim a lot of these circles. Have you noticed?
Well,
yeah,
I mean, their argument
is
that obviously
which ones they made.
Well, obviously, I mean, their argument is if they claim them, then of course they will be prosecuted. But that leaves them in a rather happy position of never having to justify their insinuation.
Exactly.
You know, and this is the thing. And so there's never any clarity on it. When they do come forward to claim they made this formation or that formation, you never really get to the bottom of it. And at the end of the day, unless you're there watching a group of people making it in front of cameras, you cannot be sure. And that is why when people come forward and say, oh, they're all man-made now, and I know, and I only have to look at a photograph to see it's man-made, well, you just cannot say that, because we don't know what we're dealing with here. And
if you didn't see people make it, you don't have
the evidence. That's
even the man-made, even the people that are going in, and let's say that there are these expert geometrists who are going in and creating some formations, and I'm sure there are some.
I mean, nobody would deny there are some man-made formations.
Yeah,
I mean,
and
everybody
even this is a reflection of the brilliance and the wonder and the experience, because they are communicating with geometry, with sacred form, more than just trying to debunk the experience. They are responding in some way to the wonder of what's going on.
Well, I mean, I think there's a certain level of mischief. I think there's a certain level of mischief that goes on that is not well-intentioned. And certainly some of these people that claim to make them have been very dark and unpleasant to researchers over the years, which seems to me not to follow up on their insinuation that they're doing this for spiritual purposes. Well, I don't always believe that. But nonetheless, any formation that appears still gets put into the mix, and it still, you know, aids the general awareness that something's going on in the fields if it's just one more thing calling attention to the fields. Yes, I think anybody, you know, can see that some formations are man-made. But that said, it's still an opinion as to which ones you think were man-made, unless you happen to be there. And I think that's why you have to be very careful when these people just, you know, announce that X amount of them are man-made. We have to say, well, but why? Can you now give me a reason? And when you try to pin these people down, you never get the reason.
Man-made ones, too. And what I'm trying to say is there's something there for you, too.
For sure, yeah. No, I agree. I mean...
Well, let me ask you this, Andy. If next year, will you once again, a couple of years ago you came out with me, will you join us again?
I would love to, yes. Of course I would. And I don't need much excuse to come back into the field.
I'm definitely going to bring a group this year. And Andy, as you see, is just the guy in the know. And we will have a couple of days with him. We'll work it out. But I think that would be really wonderful for people to get the two approaches, mine and yours, and whatever else comes to them when they're there. So that's a date, Andy. I'll call you later and we'll make it.
Sounds good.
Alrighty, well, this has just gone so fast. I can't believe it's already been an hour and we have to say goodbye. So, once again, Andy, do you want to tell them your website? Do you have a website you'd like to refer people to?
There's a few I'm associated with. If anybody's interested in finding out about some of my work and some of the books that I've written, have a look at www.vitalsignspublishing.co.uk. So that's worth a look. And the other one is swirlednews.com, which is SWIRLED, Swirled News. Which hasn't been updated as much as I would have liked this year, but nonetheless, there's masses of good archive information there, and well worth a look. So, happy reading.
Okay, great. And if you want to get more information about the upcoming program, which is still a year away, drop me a line at patcorey@tiscalynet.com, or go to my website, www.syrianrevelations.net. I'd love to know what you think about the show and Andy's insights. And, of course, you can find out more about the Syrian Revelations and the various Soul Quest Journey programs to sacred sites that I'm conducting throughout the year. Andy, what is your latest book?
Well, my latest crop circle book came out a couple of years back, and that was called Swirled Harvest, which is a series of essays.
Views from the Crop Circle Frontline.
That's the one, which is a series of sort of views from all looking at different aspects of research. But I'm currently working on a new crop circle book, which hopefully should be ready next summer. So fingers crossed, and won't say much more about it at the moment. But, I'm still busy, still looking at this marvelous phenomenon.
Okay, and I recommend Swirled Harvest. You can get that probably from your site, right?
You certainly can. Yeah, if you go on to vitalsignspublishing.co.uk, there's information on all the books that I've done over the years.
Fabulous. Thank you, Andy. I hate to say goodbye. It's been so insightful talking to you, and you fill us with hope and at the same time such an objective viewpoint. It's really refreshing to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay. Good night, everybody. We'll be with you next Sunday, and the fourth be with you, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Goodbye, Andy. Thank you. Good night, everyone.